Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. It's one of the oldest sayings in football. 3 yards in a cloud is dust. We've all heard it before. Or is it one of the oldest? Timothy P. Brown of Football Archaeology joins us to tell us about the history of the cloud of dust and those 3 yards. And you might be amazed by his results.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday where we get to visit with Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pig Pen.
Hey, Darren. Looking forward to talking, though. I think my eyes might get a little bit dusty.
I can see there's a little dust in the air here.
I can get emotional. I'm an emotional.
Yeah. Those aren't tears in his eyes of crying. He's even though it's painful to be on this podcast once a week,
it hurts.
Dust, right? But Tim is segueing into the title of a recent tidbit that he had that he calls 3 yards and a cloud of dust. So sounds like a good running sequence here. So what can you tell us about this, Tim?
Well, first I have to correct you because it's not a recent tidbit. It's from 2022. So. Oh.
Time is relative, Tim. Time is relative.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Now some others are recent, but I don't consider 2022 recent. But nevertheless, let's move on. So, the funny thing is that this is one of the, like on Substack, it ranks, like the way I have my page set up, you only have a couple choices, but the way I have it set up, it has like your most popular or most frequently viewed stories positioned on the right-hand side. And so this is one of the five most popular stories. And so it's basically the story about the term 3 yards in a cloud of dust, right? And so I think most people associate that with one person, a former Ohio State football coach, a guy named Woody Hayes. And
great last name.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even make that connection until just now.
No relation, by the way.
Yeah.
And to punch you in the head.
No, you're a much nicer man. Probably not as good a football coach, but a nice man.
Yeah, right.
So, so anyways, this story, I wrote this while I was doing some of the research on my book Hut Hut Hike, which is basically looks at the terminology, the history of the terminology, where did football terms arise and what decade did they arise? And so anyways, again, Woody Hayes is kind of the guy that you associate, or at least I associate with 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but it didn't start with him. And in fact, it wasn't connected with him until maybe 6-7 years after it came out. But originally it wasn't even 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And so the term, you know, so we kind of have to go back and just remember that, you know, now in the days of AstroTurf and, you know, artificial turf generally, you know, there is no dust. You know, there's a little black rubber pellets and all that kind of stuff that pop up. But, you know, in earlier days, you either had baseball infields or just, you know, turf that got torn up in the rain and then dried out. And so it's just dirt patches. And so dust would kick up. And then just generally, you know, they didn't water a lot of the fields, you know, that just especially if you were out west somewhere. So, you know, dust was like a normal thing. And some of the images in the tidbit itself, you know, online just show dust kicking up, you know, as guys are running around the field. So dust was just a normal part of the game. Back in the day, not so much anymore. And so in the 1950s, college football was still much more run-oriented than passing-oriented. Whereas the pros had kind of transitioned, you know, they were doing single platoon football, which meant they could have a specialized quarterback who could be a pass-first guy, didn't have to be a safety or a cornerback on defense. And so they... you know, they just threw the ball a lot more. And so, and the split T was a big, you know, Maryland won the national championship with it. Oklahoma won a bunch of national championships running the split T. And so, you know, and it was a run-oriented offense. And so at one point, there was an assistant coach at Utah or BYU, a guy named Max Tolbert, who was quoted, and I don't know anything about Max Tolbert, but he was quoted by a local newspaper guy as referring to the split tee as a cloud of dust and 4 yards, right? Not 3 yards and a cloud of dust, but a cloud of dust and 4 yards. And so then this Mooney, who was the you know, local newspaper guy who wrote the original article, over the next couple of years, he called it like a cloud of dust and 5 yards. And then, you know, like 3 years later, he returns to a cloud of dust and 4 yards. So, you know, the terminology was kind of switching around a little bit. And then in 1957, there was a guy, Louisiana guy, a reporter named Jim Wynn, who was referring to Texas A&M's offense, and the coach at Texas A&M in 1957 was this buffoon named Bear Bryant, who never made anything of himself. And so he was, you know, he was running more of a run it up the gut kind of an offense. And he referred to Texas A&M's offense as 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So as far as I can tell, the first time that that term was in print, at least in newspapers, was in 1957, and it referred to Bear Bryant. And so, and then it mostly remained in the South and Southwest conferences. So like SEC and Southwest conferences, that's basically where reporters used the term. And then all of a sudden in 1959, Woody Hayes is talking at some coach's clinic, and he says, some newspaper men call our attack 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but we don't care what the offense is called as long as it wins football games. I'm willing to take 3 1/3 yards on every play and force the other guy to make mistakes. So then from that point on, you know, that term was just locked in with Woody and probably at the time more generally Big Ten football. So it's just one of those things, you know, I think it's an interesting little story about a term that we all know, we've all heard, and yet its origins are like from BYU, you know, which is not, you know, I mean, I think of BYU as a passing oriented, you know, school, you know, that's more of an 80s thing, but, you know, so I don't know. It's just kind of funny that here was Woody had nothing to do with it, and yet it kind of became tied to him and to Big Ten football probably more generally, rather than like, you know, the Southwest or West Coast offenses that at that time were throwing the ball a bit more.
But just by the progression of the yardage that they referred to, it's almost like the play was failing as the years went by. It went from four to five to down to three. So
it regressed.
Maybe Bear and Woody didn't have it going as good as the guys did before them.
So anyways, I mean, I just like, you know, I've got a, like my third book was, you know, how did I, is just all about like the origins of football terminology. I just think that kind of stuff. I mean, I've always enjoyed the origins of words and phrases. I just think that's fun, but you know, that's just an illustration of, you know, the kind of story.
Yeah, and you know, newer football fans don't really hear that term anymore because of the spread offenses. But you know, when you and I were younger watching football, like in the 70s and earlier, it was, I mean, it was always 3 yards in a cloud of dust or student body right, student body left. You know, those are the terms that you heard quite often.
Well, you know, the game changes, and so we mostly have to get used to it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's fun no matter what it is. You know, there's always strategy behind it, and it's always fun to study that and to learn about it. So, and you do this quite often where you take these terms, you know, you did it in a whole book, you know, like you mentioned, where you took terminology, but you take different aspects of the games in your tidbits, not only in put them in many of your books, but you also tell them on your website. Maybe you could share with folks how they can partake in those.
Yeah, just real simple. It's go to footballarchaeology.com, subscribe, and you'll get an email every time I publish something new, or you can just follow me on the app itself, you know, the Substack app. Or, you know, you can follow me on Blue Sky, where I post every article that I put out, or just bookmark it and check it out whenever you want to. So whatever floats your boat.
All right. Well, he is Tim Brown. He is footballarchaeology.com, and we really appreciate him sharing this great football history with us today.
Thank you, sir. And I'll try to recover from talking about this story.
Okay. See you next week, Dusty.
Turn off that camera.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.